I wanted to start this morning in Deuteronomy 10 at verse 12 and read through verse 1 of chapter 11. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also with all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and keep his charge, and his statutes, and his judgments, and his commandments always. And also, in Leviticus 19, starting at verse 33, and if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, ye shall not vex him, but the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And back to Deuteronomy chapter 23. Verses 15 and 16. Thou shalt not deliver unto his master the servant which is escaped from his master unto thee. He shall dwell with thee, even among you, in that place, which he shall choose in one of thy gates, where it liketh him best. Thou shalt not oppress him. It's interesting how many times the stranger, the sojourner, and here in verses 15 and 16, even someone who is an escaped slave that comes unto Israel is to be loved and to be cared for. We see here that they're to be allowed to live in their gates wherever that stranger chooses. And even if the master comes from another country, from around, to reclaim their slave, they're not to give up this slave to this other person. It's really interesting when you start looking at the way the trade routes were at this time, the way that God chose this land that was centrally located in this known world, at the center of all these trade routes to all these places. We can only imagine that the law of Israel should have been so easily spread throughout the world. And you can kind of go for a moment into your mind's eye and focus on, if you were a slave at this time and you were near the land of Israel or even far, and words of the way that Israel was supposed to treat the sojourner and the escaped slave that came to them. You can imagine slaves and the word of mouth of these laws being passed around, and how people at that time, especially slave owners, wouldn't want this type of idea and these types of laws to be getting around to their people. But just for a moment, let's imagine that you were a slave at this time, and these laws somehow came to you just by word of mouth. And you're in the field working with fellow slaves, and you say, have you heard of this place where if we go there, we'll be free? And, you know, many people would have probably said, oh, there's no place like that. There's nowhere where we can go, where we can escape, where we'll be free, where we won't be turned back over to our worldly masters. You know, you have to think of the life of a slave at this time. You know, even a slave that would have had a good master would still have longed for the freedom and this idea of this place, this land. There's this place to the west, there's this place to the north, where if we can make it there, we will be free. And the people have to take us in and love us. It's hard to say if these laws would have actually been respected and how often they would have been respected by Israel. And maybe Israel kept them many a times. We have to think of the jobs that the slaves would have done. They would have been the things that would have been considered by a master to be beneath them, beneath their place of status, or things that they just didn't want to do, or, you know, the things that slaves should do. You know, in the context of this chapter in 23, it talks about, you know, kind of like, I think in parts of when they go to war and things around them. You have to think that, you know, slaves often were sent to fight in war. And we have to think that it's not a coincidence that God chose this land at the center of all these trade routes. I'm certain slave traders would have kind of skirted around Israel if they knew of this law and God's intent. And like I said, I have to wonder how often Israel actually transgressed or kept this law. There would have probably been a great reward to turn these slaves back over to their masters, and the temptation to take these slaves and enslave them again in Israel probably would have been great. We know, looking at the examples of slavery in America, around the time of the Civil War, we all have heard of the Underground Railroad and Harriet Tubman and all those that that did escape. It's believed that Harriet Tubman, once she made it to the North and gained her freedom, returned nearly 70 times to free others and to help them along the Underground Railroad to make it to the North, to freedom. We have to think to ourselves that even if the slaves that escaped to Israel didn't know what they were doing at the time, once they got there and understood the law and understood that they could be free there, that surely they would have returned and gone back and tried to, you know, risk their lives and liberty to set others free. At times, I know that I myself and as a group, we can become so guarded of our beliefs and our hopes of personal salvation, so concerned of our own gain, so afraid that we might miss out, that we might lose our part or piece of the pie, that we might not extend this same knowledge and this same hope to all that we come in contact with. Instead of bringing those people to the light, and accepting and welcoming them in, we might kind of think, oh, not right now. You know, we might push them away even because we might see them as undesirable. We might put up our walls afraid that they're going to corrupt the good thing that we have. I'm not certain, but because it's not recorded, I tend to think that the Jews, knowing this law, didn't really act on it as they should. They should have been spreading these seeds of hope among all the traitors, among all the nations, to the world around them. Israel should have been overran by the escaped slaves from everywhere else. But then again, I could be wrong. In the kingdom age, we might learn of great heroic events and an underground type railroad type society of Jews that read and knew and understood the law and thought, this is what we have to do. This is what God wants. He wants these people to be free in our land. We also should be like the abolitionists, the activists of that time, trying even unto our own hurt, even willing to be killed, that others may be set free. We think that we are free, but we are still bound. At times, I know I'm held by my own confusion or misunderstanding of the past and fear of rejection, fear of corruption from the world around me. We know we see plenty of examples that Israel forgot that it was a slave, that it was a sojourner in Egypt. Israel should have had an underground railroad directing all to the light of salvation. Instead, it seems that they closed themselves off and despised the Gentiles and the foreigner. And we kind of have these ideas where that almost seems like the right thing for them to have done, to put out the idolatry and the things of the world and to keep the Gentiles from corrupting them. But we see from places like here in Deuteronomy 23 that it's not the idolatry that they should have been bringing in, but the people that wanted to be a part of the hope of Israel and have that salvation. We are the light of the world. There is no other way to salvation from certain death. If we think that we have been saved, we have the knowledge, we are serving our God, but we are not a light to the world, trying to save as many others as possible, then we haven't been set free. For whatever reason, we are still a slave to sin. We should care about everyone. We should be activists trying to save everyone from non-existence. We will seem crazy to most of the world around us. We know that we're taught that we can't serve two masters. We can't be a light to the world and at the same time hide our light from the world. We can't say we know God, His plan, His purpose for us, the hope of Israel, the hope of salvation, and not profess it to others in some small way. In that act is love. Love is not what we feel, but what we are willing to do for others, how far we're willing to go. Love is. God is love. Love is the physical things we do. In Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. We know that Christ read these words and said that this day these words are fulfilled in the people's ears, because he was the fulfillment of all these things. And also in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 3 through 9, for ye are yet carnal, for as there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. And also verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ.